Blog Talk Radio.
How did the Revolution do in the kickoff game of the season? Find out this and more on Impact Media Presents Revolution Zone. And that's right, we're standing on the edge of a revolution, among other things. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks once again for joining us for this week's Revolution Zone, presented by Impact Media, and of course, right here live on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you guys are doing well. Been an interesting week, been an interesting day, especially if you follow the NFL. It's kind of been chaotic since 4 o'clock, but that's completely different. We're here to talk about the revolution of the Champions Indoor Football League, who are, if they're not your favorite indoor team at this point, they should be. And if they're not, appreciate you listening to the show anyway. But so much to get into today. Some news and notes we'll catch you up on soon. Of course, I'll preview the San Angelo Bandits matchup with the Revolution later on in the program as well. But first, and as my tagline on the show here did say, I do pay homage to the voice of the Revolution, Mr. Sonny Clark, in two different ways, so pay attention for that one. But, you know, given everything going, the weather's kind of cleared up in a lot of different places. It's been kind of fun. We'll get right into the game. Hopefully you got a chance to see it. There were some technical glitches. If you were on America One Sports and watching the feed like the rest of us were, the people who could not make it to their live, there was no audio. You could only see the video, which was fine because, like any good media person, I had Mr. Sonny Clark's show that's also live right here on Blog Talk Radio in case you can't listen in on the actual game. Had that in my ear. We all ran into some issues. Ironed them out. Had a pretty good game. But, I'll go over some news and notes that I kind of took from the game and just kind of things I saw. I mean, overall, the final score was 34-27 with the Revolution taking the loss in that one. Salinas now 2-0. They're on a little bit of a roll. Not much of one. It's not like, I don't know, they did a couple things to win this game, and Texas did a few things to lose this game, but that is what it is. As far as things I saw in the game, the Revolution were able to kind of get an early push, and the coverage was pretty good early on. We'll have to commend the effort of that one. You know, it's kind of hard to start off. And if you remember last year a little bit, the Revolution had a few issues in traveling to away games. Obviously, you don't have to travel to a home game. But travel was an issue a few times where sometimes they couldn't quite put it together. I don't know what it was. It could be that it was a relatively new team, a lot of unfamiliar faces. You know, all kinds of things can happen. Another thing, after the first quarter, it was kind of back and forth with both defenses really standing out and making some good stands. It was only 9-7 Revolution after the first. I thought that was pretty good. They were controlling the clock. Reminded me a lot of, you know, for the most part, the way Andy Reid likes to play. Him being the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFL. likes to control it with the defense, control the game, really go his pace, and just put a few points up here and there. One of the major themes, though, that just kept echoing throughout this entire game was the penalties by the Revolution. And that's just an understatement. Let me see if I can find that actual stat that I got from media director Matt Lunsford. If you're listening, Matt, high five for those stats you sent. Because the live feed was a little bit of an issue, and it was hard getting some of these stats. We all kind of had to scramble, and thanks to Matt and a few other people, we were able to get some of the stats from the game. There it is. 15 penalties by the Revolution that accounted for 107 yards of total, you know, positivity for the Salina Bombers. That is, I can understand a couple penalties here and there. And I'm not saying this because it's a little biased or anything like that. I would say three or four of those kind of seem like maybe, I'm not going to question officiating. They do a great job. I'm just going to say maybe they were a little picky. And I can stand behind that because I don't have any affiliation with the league or anything like that, which is a luxury at this particular juncture. So I will speak for the voiceless on that and just say, referees, you did a great job. I felt like he got a little picky for a second, but that's okay because, you know, I'm pretty sure you're pretty fair and unbiased, and you guys do a tremendous job. So, you know, virtual high five to you guys as well. But it also didn't help special teams miss 3 out of 5 field goals. I mean, that's 9 points. 9 points would have, let's see. 9 points means you would have won 36-34. I'm not blaming it all on the special teams. I'm not blaming it all on the kicker. Special teams seem to have issues throughout the night. Like I said, I don't know if it was because they were playing in a place they've never played before in Salina. I'll probably say Salina and Salina back and forth. I mean, the same place. You know what I'm talking about, the home of the Bombers. It's in Kansas. Either way, I'm not going to point at any one person here or any group that way or anything like that because, yeah, the defense made a lot of great plays, but, you know, had a couple issues there. It wasn't a total loss. It wasn't a total mess. These are things that are fixable, at least. It's not just, you know, pack it in already. No, it's the first game. There's still plenty of season left. I'm not worried about it. But, you know, as I said leading into this, Salina quarterback, Coffin, yeah, that boy can fling. That boy can throw the ball. He was limited on his overall total yardage. I believe he was held under 200, like 170, something like that, and completed about half of his passes. And also threw 2 interceptions, 1-2, Frankie Solomon Jr. That was just tremendous. Every time he touches the ball, it feels like something special. And there's always that Devin Hester-like quality where when he has the ball, there's a chance it's going all the way back. One of the things I would question, I'm curious if they went with quarterback Kent over Halpin just because of Kent being the veteran. Maybe they felt better in practice going with him in the first game, or maybe he's the guy going forward. I don't know. I felt like in the preseason game that even though Kent played more like the veteran and seemed to have his feet under him, made some good plays, that Halpin really, once he got comfortable, was able to make some plays as well. And I mean, this early in the season, I'm not trying to kill anybody's confidence, not trying to say you should play one guy over the other, but, you know, if it's kind of starting slow and you're trying to get some things started, you know, maybe let Kent take a breather and put Halpin in, we'll see what happens. Couldn't hurt. If it gets better, okay. If it's the same, put Kent back in. If it gets worse, put Kent back in. Both these guys know they're still competing for the spot, and you're trying to do what you can to win ball games for the Revolution. That's what it's about at the end of the day. It's about winning ball games. Brett Reese Jr. looked good, had the snag in the end zone. Had the injury in the second quarter that, man, if it's the one I believe it was when the player went flying over the barrier and seemed to hit pretty hard on the other side. There is concrete on the other side of that. There's not padding. I mean, falling on something like that, that could really hurt. Like I said, the defense did hold pretty strong for the most part. You got to think about indoor. If you're new to indoor, think about it this way. On a given night, you're going to give up, you know, between 25 and 30 points a night on a good night. So, you know, the fact you gave up 34, that's not that bad. The thing is, you only scored 27. You don't have to be a math major to realize that that means you don't win the game. But, regardless, the failed fourth down play, they tried to go for it on fourth down, unsuccessful on that one. I think that's, you know, as it comes with practice, not going to have as many issues with that one. It did look like it was a relatively new play to the players, or that they were unfamiliar with running it the way it was ran. I don't know. It could just have been the whole night was just kind of weird and had a weird vibe going. That kind of thing happens. The thing I did notice is, as good as the defense was, and they only gave up the 34 points, they were giving up big drives. Now, it didn't always equate in points, but it seemed like when the Bombers got the ball, they were already halfway down the field within the first few plays. Once again, when this unit gels, they seem like they're starting to get used to playing next to the guy beside them, starting to work as a unit. That's easily fixable, easily obtainable. The goal line defense, though, like I said, they may have been able to make these big drives and get down the field, but the goal line defense wasn't really letting nobody in. There was a lot of second and third and goals for Salina, and they couldn't convert on it. And it's not because they're not good. Every team in this league is good. Every team's capable of winning games. That's why, you know, you can't sleep on a team. I don't feel like the Revolution went to sleep on this one. The Revolution kicker, Garrett Palmer, like I said, he had a rough night. Things happen. The three major things, it's just like when your car breaks down. The first thing you think of is a battery. Then you think maybe it's the starter. Maybe you think it's the alternator. Well, in this case, on a special teams play, on a kick play, field goal, you got to think of it like this. The battery would be the kicker, Garrett Palmer in this case. The starter would be the center, the long snapper. And, of course, the holder would be the alternator. Sometimes it's all three, sometimes it's two or three, sometimes it's one or three. Sometimes maybe the other team just got a good rush in and rushed the play a little bit. Sometimes things happen. It's special teams. But I feel like Garrett's going to have a lot of kicks in practice this week. I think he's going to really hone in and really start to nail it down, dial in what he's trying to do. He's going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. They did get the two-point conversion. Fudge was able to run it in almost effortlessly, but a lot of times he runs, he looks very effortless. So, you know, having him back, Fudge is only going to – there's a chance he could lead the league if he gets going. He has some pretty good runs. I liked a lot of the breaks he was able to make. And, I mean, 17-12 Salina at the half. This game was still obtainable at that point. The Bombers' offense stalled in the third a little bit, and then they had the blocked field goal and the failed onside kick by the Revolution there at the end. Pretty much sealed the deal, even though, just for the sake of saying it, Mr. Coffin was the one putting the nails in the end of the night for the Revolution. And like I said, 34-27, kind of a low-scoring game as far as indoor is concerned. I don't know how the CIF typically averages or anything, but, you know, that's pretty much that's pretty much is what it is there. Now, I told you I was going to pay homage to Mr. Sonny Clark, the voice of the revolution, in two different ways. So, I'm going to start with one right now. He was having some technical difficulties that were out of his control, and trust me, we've all been there. I continue to have them occasionally, especially when you're out on the road trying to make these shows work sometimes. I want to commend the effort, not just saying it because we become good friends, especially doing this. Just want to say that appreciate you sticking with it, Sonny, and you still made a success and added to the night, added, you know, the voice to the non-audio voiceless feed that we were getting. So, in that way, we will obviously pay homage there. And the second way I want to, and it's actually, I was actually messing with him earlier about this as well, I told him he had a bet with the, I believe, general manager or the owner, I believe, maybe the owner of the Bombers, that if the Revolution won, the guy from the Bombers would shave his beard, and if the Bombers won, then Sonny would shave his. Sonny being the honorable guy he was when the Revolution lost, when he got home that night, posted that video. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'll try to find it and post it up. It'll be on his website anyway. But he did shave that and everything, and like I said, I was messing with him earlier. I told him that me and my beard like to enjoy watching the games. Obviously, mine will be disappearing soon as well. Just because it's not cold anymore, and it looks better when you're a little cleaner. At least it does to me. That's my personal opinion. You know, your opinion matters as well. If there's any questions, comments, suggestions, you want to tell me if you like beards, you don't like beards, how you style yours, whatever, you know. Or if you ever want to request somebody to be on the show, we'll do our best to try to line them up and get them on here. We're working on some things right now, still nailing down some last-minute details and everything because, you know, we want to do it the right way. But you can call us here on the show, 347-826-7448, while we're live. You can call that number. You can follow the links to our Blog Talk Radio page. You can find us on Twitter. At the Impact 99 is where you'll find me. The Impact Media page is at Team Impact Media. Questions, comments, suggestions, whatever. If you just want to send us a funny joke, that's fine as well. We enjoy jokes. Can't guarantee we're going to laugh, but we'll try. We'll try. And also, we're on Facebook as well, Impact Media. And if you do want to, email the show at 3endzone@gmail.com is where you can find us there. Let's talk about that game coming up. That would be your Texas Revolution. We'll be going to San Angelo to take on the Bandits. That is a Saturday night game, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can find the game, if you can't make it there live, AmericaOneSports.com. For a couple bucks, you get to see the stream. I've never had a problem with them. And you can watch more than just this game. You can watch all kinds of other games from CIF. You can watch other indoor games. There's softball. There's basketball. There's baseball. There's all kinds of stuff on that site. You can see all kinds of different games live. There's video on demand. They do some really awesome stuff at America One Sports. Check them out. But in previewing this game coming up, the San Angelo Bandits, who have started the year, I believe they've done pretty well, if I'm not mistaken. See, did I get that wrong? No, I don't think I did. Anyway. should be another battle, not just because it's two CIF teams, but the Bandits usually fight pretty hard. They've been able to put up some pretty good yardage, get some things going. Okay, thought I had the wrong link there for a second, but it says Sioux City Bandits here, but I know it's the San Angelo Bandits. They're averaging right at 60 points a game. That means Revolution will have to step it up just a little bit. They are 1-1 coming into right now, which is fine. We can easily hand them their second loss. Nope, Sioux City Bandits, they're 1-0. Sorry, the San Angelo Bandits actually, I believe, have not played a game yet. But once again, we can easily hand them their first loss. Have no problem with that one. To me, the players to watch for this one for sure. I mean, I'd like to see Halpin play a little bit. I don't have a problem with Kent. I'm not saying you shouldn't like Robert Kent Jr. But I really think Frankie Solomon Jr. is going to have a big game. I know that seems like the easy answer as well. But no, Darius Fudge, I believe he's capable of 80 to 100 yards and a couple scores. I believe this could be the key to one of the games. And, let's hope DeMario Dixon and the rest of the defensive line there can get a little more push. They've been getting some push and getting some turnovers, but I believe they can get a few more. And I wouldn't mind, DeMario, if you're listening, no pressure on this or anything, but I know it'd excite me and all the fans as well. If maybe you get a fumble or an interception and run that all the way back down there, I feel like you have a fun celebration. And like I said, no pressure on that. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, that's fine. But you just keep doing what you're doing out there, and we'll look forward to it. It is exciting to watch this. If it wasn't exciting, I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't talk about it. And the Revolution are by far one of the teams to listen to and watch and all that. That's what I do. But like I said, the people to watch this week, I'd say DeMario Dixon, Darius Fudge, Halpin if he gets to play, if not Robert Kent. Either way, I think the quarterback position here is pretty solid. And Frankie Solomon Jr., obviously. Oh, did not do my Impact Player of the Week award. That's something I like to do here at Impact Media, where a lot of times I'll pick just somebody from the game that I thought did a stand-up job or who I felt made the biggest impact on the game. And as I said earlier, with the Revolution, I'm only going to pick Revolution players. I'm going to give it to the whole defense, because the defense kept the Revolution in this game, and unfortunately the offense couldn't put quite enough together to make it work. But, things happen. And, it is what it is. You move on to the next game. You wipe that one right off your shoulder. News and notes before I get out of here. And once again, we do appreciate you hanging out with us on Blog Talk Radio for Revolution Zone this week. Thanks to Impact Media. The Revolution do want you to know they will be racing wieners inside the Allen Event Center at the March 20th inaugural home game, or the first of the year, that supports Dachshund Lovers of Texas Rescue, where you can rescue or you can register your dog. So if you've got a wiener dog and or a Dachshund and you'd like to run the race, you can go to their Facebook page where they have a form you can fill out and put your favorite wiener in the race. And good luck to all the wiener dogs out there. They try so hard. And if you send out any social media about it, hashtag it RaceMyWiener. And that'll be March 20th, of course. So if you do want to race your wiener, go to the Facebook page for the Texas Revolution and it's got all the information up there. And that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you hanging out with us for a little while. Hope you enjoyed everything. Like I said, questions, comments, suggestions, anything whatsoever, make sure to send it our way. For Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio, I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you next week for the Revolution Zone.